time. Now I'm joined on the line by comedian and folk singer and BAFTA nominee Richard Digance. Richard is one of the UK's most successful entertainers, mixing his comedy with songs, rhymes and stories about his life in showbiz. Richard has supported Steve Martin, the late Robin Williams, and also duetted with Brian May, along with penning several books, poems, plays and scripts. He's soon going to be performing at the Queen's Theatre Hornchurch on Sunday the 25th of October at 7:30 p.m. But before we talk about the show, we're going to find out more about Richard himself. So I hope you're there, Richard. Can you hear me? You got a nice showbiz introduction there.
It was. You don't sound very Brentwood accent.
that's my... But I can only do the introductions in a posh voice. The rest of it goes straight downhill.
Oh, yeah, I've got it now. Yeah, you're more East Ham now.
There is... Seven Kings, that's sort of near, you know. It's still Essex. Did I sound plush now? I feel really embarrassed now.
No, you're all right.
Now, we're going to talk about the Queen's Theatre show, which is on Sunday the 25th of October.
It is.
But before we do that, how old were you when you first actually started playing the guitar?
Well, I've been touring for 43 years.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I started playing the guitar when I was minus seven. If you want the honest answer, yeah. I didn't start playing until I was about 16 or 17, and I became a student, and I got into Bob Dylan. It was the fashionable thing at the time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually, I used to sort of filter out to the Essex folk clubs, because being raised in East Ham, there was only sort of one folk club in my area.
Mm.
Although the resident, I have to say, was an unknown chap called Paul Simon, would you believe?
Yep.
Barking. And all the other folk clubs were sort of the other side of town, really. So I used to sort of wander out to your neck of the woods, purely because it's where the clubs were. The Bull in Brentwood was the good folk club round your way, you know.
Mm.
And it always makes me smile when, you know, through the years, you know, I did a couple of gigs at the Brentwood Centre, and you drive past the pubs where you played in the folk clubs, and you just think, wow,
yeah,
it's been a bit of a journey, this one, you know.
I was going to say, because being a musician, when you're up on stage as a musician, it doesn't matter if the audience don't listen or they're having a cup of tea or their beers, but when you're up there and you're doing comedy, there is nowhere to hide. There's nothing to hide behind. So how did you sort of go from the music into the comedy at the same time?
Well, it was... You're right. You're absolutely right, but the thing is, even as a solo musician, you don't really want people nattering away, you know. It's not like being in a band when you can sort of get off on each other's skills, you know. When you're solo, no matter what you're doing, you do want some sort of audience sort of appreciation, really.
Yeah.
But I was quite blessed, because when I was a student, I sort of got the gist of where I wanted to go, because I went to college in Glasgow, not down here, and the resident bloke at the local college folk club in Glasgow was a certain Billy Connolly, who was learning his trade.
Yeah.
And there's me looking at him, keeping my mouth shut, because I had a East End accent in Glasgow, and so I found this quiet solitude in the folk club. I looked at Billy Connolly, and after he performed, I noticed that all the girls chatted him up and all the blokes bought him pints, and I thought, do you know what, that's the only thing I wanted from college. So he was a massive inspiration for me to actually get a guitar and really start learning my trade. And then I was blessed, some of the listeners will know of a very fine musician called John Martin, who wrote a song called May You Never, which Eric Clapton did. And I was very blessed, because I, just by a fluke, it wasn't planned, but I shared a flat with John Martin, and so I used to watch him on the settee every night playing the guitar, and so I sort of fast-tracked my way through the first stages of guitar playing, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. And do you still remember your first gig, when you actually got up and did, you know, your first proper set that you worked on? Where was it?
You'd never believe this. It was in Cook's Road in Stratford, and it was in a double-decker bus. And all the seats were taken out. There's all cushions, you know, on the ground and all that.
Yeah.
And so you stood with your back to the driver's cab and sang downstairs. And then in the interval, everyone went upstairs and had oxtail soup and coffee. And that was my first ever gig.
And did you get a good round of applause?
Well, they never invited me back, darling.
Oh, right.
I couldn't have been that good, could I?
What do you feel like, you know, I know you're a musician, I get to speak to lots of musicians, obviously yeah. coming to the studio, but with the comedy as well, do you get kind of, are you very nervous before you go on stage, or do you get the excitement or the buzz, and does your show change as well, depending on the audience? There's two questions chucked in there.
Yeah, well, I'm not really bothered about numbers. Mm. I think when you've... it's always my thing about the whole sort of X Factor machine, mm. you know, is those poor people who get rejected, they yeah. almost feel their lives are over, and that's why I don't like music as a competition. Mm. I won't go into that one, but yeah, when I'm going on, I'll play for about 15 minutes before I go on stage, but I'm very lucky, I don't actually suffer from nerves, mm. and I certainly don't suffer from how many people are in a room, because... to be honest, if two people have got ready and had their dinner and come out to see you, it's a bit of a compliment. And if 200 have come, it's an equally nice compliment. But I'm not worried about numbers, and so therefore I don't have that panic stress that a lot of performers have. I know a lot of people, you know, are actually physically sick before they go on stage.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me physically sick is some of the songs I write, and I think, oh, no, I can't do that in front of anybody. But, no, I don't have nerves, so I'm actually quite lucky. But I don't really act my life, you know. Mm. When I'm on stage, I'm telling true stories, you know, yeah. whatever they're about. Yeah, I mean, I heard you mention Steve Martin, and there's great stories about Steve Martin because... I was warned about him, who by the way, is an incredibly shy, sort of unassuming bloke.
But he plays
on the movies, you know, but he is actually quite a reserved chap, as most people are when they're off stage.
Mm.
And I was warned he had the most amazing encore I've ever seen. And what he used to do, at the end, he used to take the audience out into the street and show them how to nick a car. I mean, that's really quite amazing, especially for a quiet, reserved bloke. It takes a bit of doing.
Yeah. he plays the I've forgotten the instrument he plays, but he's a tap dancer as well, isn't he? Yeah, banjo, and he's a tap dancer. I saw him with, there's a clip on YouTube somewhere of him doing this the most amazing tap dancing routine, and you wouldn't think cause he's such a tall guy.
No, I know, but the point is, he's a bit, oh, he's not like me at all, he's massive, but... He started the same as me. He was a musician,
mm.
and he wrote for other people for the Johnny Carson show, and one of the people he'd written for didn't turn up, so he was thrust onto the Johnny Carson show live in America as a writer, and performed the song himself, and became a massive hit after that. So he became massive by default, if you like, and...
Mm.
And so I sort of followed the same path. I started in music, and I was with Elkie Brooks for quite a while, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... I didn't really go full-on comedy until I was grabbed by Jim Davidson to tour with him. I'd never met him in my life, and he was Woolwich, and I was East Ham, so there's a big river between us. But before I knew it, I was in the Falkland Islands during the war back then, and there I was performing with Jim Davidson, and it was then that the comedy producers, if you like, and London Weekend Television, all those people who I didn't know,
mm.
and they certainly didn't know me, were sort of colliding through Davidson, and that is why last year when he was going through all that mess with the, you know, the Operation U-Treat thing,
yeah.
why I was so close to him, and helping him through it, 'cause it was a dark time,
mm.
until he won Big Brother, of course, then he was all right. But I owed him, because had it not been for Jim, I certainly wouldn't have got on television like I did.
Yep.
And so, yeah, a South Londoner and an East Londoner, not normally the combination that works, but that's how I sort of turned from music, left Elkie and went with Jim, and then... through Jim I got my own show on telly, so I moved on to my own concerts, so it was quite an easy transition for me, really.
And what work out of everything you've done are you most proud of? Because I didn't realise that you actually did paintings as well. I mean, you not only do your poems, your songs, your comedy, your folk songs, and plays and scripts, you do so much. So what one is it? Have you got one that's particularly, what's most, you know, the thing that you think that
well,
I'm
pleased? Well, I'll tell you the proudest thing I've done, shall I?
Yeah.
And it's quite in keeping, actually, today. And I've done no interviews other than yours, But today is a special day because I've been working with the celebrated Bill Bryson, the world's best-selling travel book author.
Yep.
And he's got a new book out today, which is actually called The Road to Little Dribbling, but it's, for those who know Bryson's work, it's the second volume of Notes from a Small Island, which was a massive, massive world-selling book, you know. And I've done all the music and the songs for his audiobook of the new book that's out today, and I'm really, really, really proud about that. Can you imagine? I mean, some little slouch from East Ham and Bill Bryson gets in touch to write the music for him and all that stuff. And just before I spoke to you, I was just talking about a little gig with him and Richard E. Grant on October the 20th, which will be nice. And I'm immensely proud of being connected with something like that and by someone who's that good a writer. You know, and that really does make me fire up a little bit, as you can probably imagine.
Yeah. If you had to pick one comedian that was your hero growing up, who would it be, and why were they, or are they, your hero?
Well, obviously Connolly, because of what I said. And then I started wandering around the folk clubs, and I was massively inspired by a guy called Ralph Mattel, who wrote Streets of London, and I wanted to play the guitar like him, and so on. But in the days way, way back, when everyone else was sort of, I don't know, watching Morecambe and Wise or whatever it was on telly, I was into Tony Hancock, the drier humour, you know, and a guy called Bob Newhart, who was an American comic at the time, who did The Driving Instructor, that some of the older listeners will remember. So I was into the more conversational humour, I think I would call it, rather than gag, 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 you know, like Davidson does. I wanted to do more of the stories, and so I set my path out, and also I was aware I wasn't a great singer, and the longer I made the stories, the less I had to sing on stage, and it sort of overtook itself. I told longer stories, very aware that I'm not the Michael Bublé, and from that, from here on in, you know, and now, of course, you know, I get people that, because they've watched me on Countdown over 19 years, and I even genuinely had a woman come up to me after the show and says, I didn't know you played the guitar, because she thought that I just sat there dreaming up nine-letter words and doing stupid poems, you know, like I did on Countdown all that period of time. So it goes to show, doesn't it, you know, however someone sees you, and they come and see you in concert, like the Hornchurch, you know, it depends where they've seen you. They might have seen me playing a bit of flash guitar, and they'd say, oh, I'll go near him, bash out some chords. Or they may have heard a song. Oh, we can have a sing-song. That's what Dijons does.
Yeah.
Or, like that lady, they might go, oh, he might do some very sophisticated poetry. And I'll just give them my thoughts for the day. It's like, are Russian dolls full of themselves? And stuff like that, that seems to make people laugh on stage.
I was going to get to the show now, which is going to be on the 25th of October at the Queen's Theatre. What can people expect when they come along to the show? And does it change for the audience, you know, where you can sort of... Is it quite scripted with you, or do you go off on a tangent? I would imagine you can go off on a tangent, because you can...
Well, that's the obvious answer. But in actual fact, it really does depend where you're working. I mean, tomorrow I'm in Southampton, and then Saturday I'm in Derby.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't... sort of move too far away from the set that I've got in my head for those two. But when you go to Hornchurch, and I used to live in Gideon Park, you know.
Oh, that's a bit posh.
It's posh, yeah, because I'd robbed post offices and everything. I'd done really well for myself. I lived in Upper Brentwood Road, and so when I hit Hornchurch, I know the place well. I know what they want to talk about. I know exactly how they grew up, and because I grew up with them. I worked at Old Church Hospital, as it was, as a x-ray developer, you know, and when I was skint. So I know the area very, 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 very well. I don't know Derby, don't particularly know Southampton, so I'll just do my show.
Yeah.
But when you walk on at the Queen's, and I've done it so many times, it really is, and this is sounds like a real, you know, licking moment, but it is probably my favourite theatre in Britain.
Oh.
It's well run, it's got a great foyer, it's, It's got a lovely seat in, and if you can't go down well at the Queen's, you might as well sling it in, to be really honest. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know that sounds really naff. It's not meant to be. It's just that I know the area, know the people, and probably after dining Derby, I'll be looking forward to it.
You'll be fine. So you can catch. So you're going to be at the Queen's Theatre on Sunday, the 25th of October at 7:30.
Yeah.
Tickets are £16.50, £20, and £23. I suppose where you sit.
Are they going to pay me £50,000 on those sorts of prices?
Well, I don't know. They're just going to ram them in, really. Let ram people in. It'll be packed.
We'll have a raffle. £100 a ticket. Make it worth my while.
If you do want to book, it's 01708 443333, and you can also go to all the W's, queens-theatre.co.uk. If you go to Richard's website, which is richardsdigents.com, I'll try and get more words out there,
yep.
You can find out about the Bill Bryson book as well, because it's all there, isn't it? And also you've got your audio stuff there as well,
yeah.
So people want to have a little listen. Well, it's been really, thank you ever so much for having a chat today.
Thank you, and thanks for putting your proper accent on
I try my best. It's just one of those things. When I'm trying, somebody actually heard me on the radio the other day. Say, who is that? And I said, that's me. I was playing my mum a recording.
But I was just talking to the Duke of Edinburgh, and he wants to be interviewed next. So put your flash old voice on next, girl.
Okay.
Get on with the Duke.
All right, then. Thank you very much, Richard. Right. I hope the show goes well for you, okay?
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
See ya.
Oh, what a lovely guy. See what I mean? My voice changes, doesn't it? I can't help it. Right, 11:46. I think we'll have some music. Here's 10cc with Dreadlock Holiday. And don't forget, if you want to get tickets to go and see Richard Digents, he's going to be at the Queen's Theatre on Sunday, the 25th of October, 01708 443333, or you can book online at all the W's, queens-theatre.co.uk.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and ride.